Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I got one.
Here's John Williams.
Well, actually, we'll decide that later. 109, this is John. You know, one good thing about Friday is it's Friday, and that means the bright side. That'll be a chance for you to call in, give us some good news in your world. Tell us why you're smiling. We do the bright side. It's a group hug on the radio. It works every single time. And we'll do that about 2:40, 2:45. Be ready to call in. Where are you going to be about 2:45? It's 1:10, about an hour and a half from now. Where am I going to be? I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be listening to the radio. Listen to our bright side segment. You call in, tell us what your good news is in your world, why you're smiling, and we will smile with you. That's the bright side. I saw this morning, first thing, I said I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm more interested in the vocabulary lesson we're getting from Kim Jong-un than the back and forth between the leader of North Korea and President, I know you are, but what am I? But Donald Trump tweeted the other day, he said, or was it early this morning, actually, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, who is obviously a madman and does not mind starving or killing his people, will be tested like never before. Remember that he also said he was Rocket Man, and Trump's been tweeting away personally at the leader of North Korea, who evidently finds out about this sort of thing, and now he's getting a little ticked about it, too. So you've got two guys just sort of flicking each other on the ear, both of them with nuclear weapons and even hydrogen bombs. I guess that's the same thing, but hydrogen bomb sounds worse, doesn't it? I don't know, maybe it doesn't. So anyway, then Kim Jong-un launched back and called President Trump a dotard or a dotard. What's the pronunciation on that, Aleph? How does it go?
Dotard.
Do it again?
Dotard.
That's Merriam-Webster telling us that, right?
I think that's actually dictionary. Yes, Merriam-Webster.
But dictionary.com, thesaurus.com, they're all saying dotard, right?
Yeah.
Everything we've done online to get the correct pronunciation of D-O-T-A-R-D.
I also read somewhere that it rhymes with goat herd.
Goat herd, dotard, dotard. The word has appeared, according to the New York Times, the word has appeared on the pages of the New York Times only 10 times since 1980, always in the paper's arts coverage. A favorite theme of the medieval fabulous is the May-December tale of the dotard husband cuckolded by his young wife, began one book review in 1986. It's interesting because you have to think about it. Kim Jong-un did not say dotard. I mean, he's not speaking English, right? So he didn't say, use the word dotard. He doesn't know the word dotard. He doesn't speak English, not to my knowledge. I'm sure that this missive from his side didn't come in English. It came in Korean. And so then he says, call him, a senile old man. And then they said, okay, what's the word for that? You know, you're kind of reverse engineering this. And then they went to thesaurus.com or whatever they go to in North Korea. And then they found the word dotard. And so it was either, you know, sort of a poetic flourish on their part, or it was just their inability to translate well into modern English. But either way, now, I guarantee you that the word dotard is going to be dropped into conversations left and right. You are such a dotard. Stupid Bertrand. I told him to do the thing, and then he did the thing. What a dotard. You dotard. You're going to get a lot of that now. And again, these are guys with nuclear arsenals. Just I know that's the perspective, but I'm, pardon me, enjoying the vocabulary lesson just a little bit.
I'm now thinking T-shirts. I'm like, we should put that on a T-shirt. We could sell a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah, right. Doesn't mind killing or starving his people. Will be tested like never before. And so then he said, oh, yeah, well, we are really going to come at you. Boy, you better watch out. We'll blow a hydrogen bomb up over the Pacific Ocean. And by the way, you're a dotard. And dotard, by the way, the definition of dotard is a person in his or her dotage. Thanks a lot. Dotage is a state or period of senile decay marked by decline of mental poise and alertness. Senile decay marked by decline of mental poise and alertness. So That's probably what he meant. Who knows what the mental health of the president is, but that's probably what he meant. But then, you know, if they did have a whip-smart young college kid over there in North Korea, he'd say, okay, dotard works. Let's come up with another one. And then they would have said, you know, dum-dum, knucklehead. Knucklehead would have worked. I don't know. Maybe dotard's better. I don't know.
I think Un did go to school in Switzerland.
So he's probably got a Western.
He's got another language in him if it's not English. But
yeah. Still, I mean, I speak English every day. If you'd said, okay, how do you describe Donald Trump or somebody else whose mental faculties you're not sure of, dotard wouldn't have come to mind.
If you had asked me to define dotard.
You're not sure you could have pulled that off?
With an extinct bird? No.
that's the 6-foot winged dotard, if I'm not mistaken.
It's the female.
So poor.
Hey, can I give you a headline?
Yeah.
We're just getting news bulletins here. John McCain says he cannot, in good conscience, vote for the Graham Cassidy health bill.
Cannot, in good conscience, vote for Graham Cassidy.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that do to the math on this?
Should kill it.
Really? I wonder if he's going to wait. Talk about a flourish. If he's going to wait, let it come to the floor. And then rather than say nay, walk up to the podium and then throw his thumb down. What a dramatic gesture that was. So McCain out.
I have to apologize to Kim Gordon. She said it was in her newscast. I just was getting alerts myself, so I thought it was brand new. But
I don't mind the alert.
Those of us who listen closely to the radio station already knew that.
But if you were a dotard,
dude,
you needed to hear
I'm
it twice.
Putting that on a T-shirt.
Okay, so speaking of losing it, Lawrence O'Donnell is a CNN anchor who's maybe in some contract negotiations and maybe they aren't going so well. And so he's recording bits for his show and he got very angry because everything was going wrong. There was some hammering in the background. He was hearing chatter in his ears. You know, as I'm speaking to you, Elif can talk to me in my ear. Kim, I think, Steve, can you guys talk to me in my ear while I'm on the air? Yeah, I've heard you guys actually
do
that.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, I know you're doing that.
I've done it accidentally. Yeah.
I know. It's very, very frustrating. When we were on remote at the United Center this Saturday for the Blackhawks training camp festival, Sam Panionovich is doing the sports, and there's Lou Manfredini, and there's me, and there's Lou's producer Lindsay and my producer Griffin, and there's a talkback system. It's so loud out there that they would talk to us in our ears, even though we were adjacent to each other. They would actually have us put our headphones on, and then you could talk in your ears. So Lou and Lindsay are talking in their ears as Sam is doing the sports. But Sam, as he's doing the sports, is hearing the chatter between the two of them the whole time. So imagine saying, the Cubs won 3-2 last night, and while you're doing it, there's Lindsay and Lou going, "Do you like these donuts? Because I really think these donuts are good." That's happened to all of us before,
yeah.
And it takes so much focus to keep doing what you're doing. The other option is saying, hey, you guys cut it out. I'm hearing donut talk in my ears.
They hate me up here because, in fact, they mock me because I go, all right, here we go. Because when I'm coming in and out of a newscast, it bothers me if other people in the room are talking.
Yeah, no, I think
that's a
good heads up.
I don't think you can hear them, but I can hear them. And like right now, do you hear that? Can you hear that?
I can just hear Kim in the background, but it sure doesn't bother me.
No, right.
Sounds like a busy newsroom.
It is.
Yeah, see, there
okay,
she
here
is.
Here we go. But yeah, so it's just what you do because you can't get too many noises.
So you say, here we go, and then you do your thing.
And people just keep talking as if I said nothing.
So what we do is a very small version of what's happening for Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC or Bill O'Reilly famously on Fox where, you know, it's TV, there's more people, you have less control, it's a national audience. And so here he is doing his show in August. We've just now discovered it for reasons that aren't clear, but I think it's because somebody's trying to screw with him. So this is Lawrence O'Donnell, and this was not broadcast this way, but this is his cutting the pieces for the show.
Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know.
It's out of control.
Clear.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I don't know. It's
Where's the hammer?
It's on a different
floor. Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
I think it's
I'll go down to the damn floor myself and stop it. Keep the damn commercial break going. Call Phil Griffin. I don't care who the fuck you have to call. Stop the hammering. Empty out the damn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there or out there somewhere. The woman talking in my ear was talking about the Labor Day special repeatedly every time we went to a SOT. Get out of control. I don't know why I bother to say how to cut the socks when you don't do it.
The poor guy.
I just don't know why.
So anyway, then the Labor Day picnic we're going to have. Who's bringing potato salad?
I should laugh at him because I appreciate his frustration. And I don't mind, you can tell that thing went 8 minutes. And you can tell we bleeped out the bad words. His language was fantastically colorful.
But that's kind of the thing. It went on 8 minutes. So if you watch the whole 8 minute clip, they're playing what he called a SOT, like sound on tape. So yeah. It's, you know, some senator talking. So he'll introduce it, and then while that senator's talking on tape, he's ranting. Then it ends, and he comes back, does more of the script, and then goes back.
And the funny thing is you don't know as you're watching that show that he goes to audio of George Bush, and then he comes back to him, and he was just ripping. The thing that bothers me about it, it's not the bad language. It's not the fact that he's going ape, because I know how frustrating it is. The only thing that really bothers me about these kind of clips is how inconsiderate it is to other professionals whose jobs are sort of on the line here, too. You know, we're all in this together. It's going badly, but you're blowing up the room, and that's not fair or nice to everybody. It's not even smart. Now, the most famous example of this, of course, is Bill O'Reilly. And if the phrase, do it live, doesn't mean anything to you, then you've probably never heard this.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know what... Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
No, there is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay, true.
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
Sting is going to do... It's a video. Sting video.
What is...
For credits.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it.
Oh, boy.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. And we will leave you with a... I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Thing sucks.
5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
Hey, where's Stewie?
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter.
There it is. We are going to do Sting, yeah.
There's no words there. To play us out. What does that mean, to play us out? To end the show?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go, go.
In 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we'll leave you with a... I can't do it. We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Stewie Griffin. Thanks for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
So you know you've arrived when Family Guy decides to parody, then... You've achieved a certain level of greatness that, you know, at least you got that going for you. It's 123. This is John Williams on WGN. By the way, the temperature outside is 93 degrees. The record high for today is 89. 4 degrees. We've eclipsed the record high. I just got a text message from a friend. It's a picture of the thermometer that displays on his dashboard. 100 degrees. Text to me the dashboard thermometer readings for you. 100 degrees.
Let's not do this.
100 degrees
nowhere,
right here in Chicago.
No, it's not 100.
It's 100
here.
Degrees
it's
where
not,
that car is.
No, it's not.
The thermometer is not broken.
It's incorrect.
The thermometer is... It is not. Those are.
It's these, overly excited. It's not 100.
Where that thing is reading the temperature is 100 degrees. It's 93 at the airport, 100 feet in the air.
I promise you that it's not 100 degrees anywhere here. They're wrong.
All those thermometers that I'm going to get pictures of now of 99 and 102 are wrong. All of them are wrong.
They're in the sun. I don't know exactly.
Oh, really? They're in the sun. Huh.
I don't know.
Well, what if I was in the sun?
They're just wrong. Okay, they're just wrong. It's not 102.
It's 90. What did I just show you? 100 degrees. It's 100 degrees on Steve Alexander's car.
Oh, well, it's Steve then. No.
Thank you, Steve Alexander. You are not a liar, and you are not a dotard.
He is an instigator, though.
Let's pick up a couple of phone lines. Adam, this is John. You're on WGN. What can I do for you, Adam?
Hi there. I was just listening to the recording you had of the senator. I'm sorry, what was his name with the hammering?
Oh, yeah, that was Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC.
Okay, and instantly, I'm sure it's going to get intertwined with this scene from this movie, too, because instantly, I don't know if anybody's ever said it or has said it since this happened, but you remember the movie Scrooged with Bill Murray?
Sure.
There's an identical scene. Right when I was listening, it was almost identical with the scene from Scrooged where he's trying to talk or something, and they're working on the movie set for, you know, remember the movie? And he's like, "Will you hold the hammering?" He's saying a word you can't say on the air, GD. You know,
really?
Will you hold the GD hammering, please? You know, but he keeps saying, "Will you hold the hammering?" You know, and then he's screaming it. You know, and
on the movie
oh
set.
Man, I was just listening to that, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's like just like that scene." So
I have not. It
was
seen
just an observation. That's all.
Very funny. I mean, I haven't seen it. Now everybody's going to Google it. Thanks for the call, Adam.
That's what I'm. I was like, that's something. I can't be the first one who saw it.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with it. I appreciate the call. Hey, Matt, jump in here. You're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hey, John. Go JJC Wolves, by the way. But no, the first thing I thought of is like because of the whole Lawrence O'Donnell, and then I'm thinking Bill O'Reilly, and then I'm thinking of the Casey Kasem thing. I think Roe has been playing that stuff too. But the king of them all to me is that Christian Bale rant when he was on the set of, I think it was Terminator 3, and he just went ballistic on one of the cinematographer who was getting in his line of sight.
Yes.
And that when you played that Family Guy clip, it reminded me of they did their own version of that as well, where he was yelling at Peter because Peter was chasing after a runaway peanut M&M that was rolling into the camera shot. And if you can somehow find that is just they just showed a tape playing in animated form, and it's just him ranting at Peter. You know, he's like, "Well, I just went chasing after this peanut M&M, and I'm sorry if it got in your shot, Mr. Bale."
Wow. Okay. Two things for me to look for. You know, so again, you've arrived. If they parody you on Family Guy, thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Matt, I appreciate you listening. I don't know if they're going to take what Lawrence O'Donnell did and so honor it.
Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. I'll go down to the damn floor myself and stop it. Keep the damn commercial break going. Call Phil Griffin. I don't care who the f*** you have to call. Stop the hammering. Empty out the damn control room and find out where this is going on. It's either there or there or out there somewhere. The woman talking in my ear was talking about the Labor Day special repeatedly every time we went to a sock. I just don't. I don't know why I just.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Joining us are Dylan Goodson, Community Development Manager at the Lakeview Chamber of Commerce. Dylan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm hot. It's hot out there.
Thank
I
you.
Agree
it's
with you.
Really hot. It's, well, you may stay. And Andrew, I presume you feel the same way. Andrew Modrell is here. He's a partner at Port Urbanism, Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
We saw a story in the paper the other day, and I just am so excited about this, particularly as a recent transplant to the city of Chicago. We all are familiar with the L-tracks, and a lot of us know about the 606, the abandoned elevated line that has been turned into a great walkway. But there's something called the low line, right? So what is the low line?
Well, first of all, welcome to Chicago.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So the low line is kind of the opposite of the 606 in a sense. Instead of thinking on top of the tracks, we're thinking underneath the tracks. And we're also working in a space that's, you know, currently an operating CTA structure. So the low line project essentially envisions the idea of connecting two of Lakeview's prime shopping corridors, Southport Avenue with Lincoln Avenue, with a under L track and pathway that will take you from Southport all the way to Lincoln. So on the way, you'll encounter things like art, lighting elements. You'll have the opportunity to experience plazas that will host future community programming.
So it's a parkway or walkway under the L tracks.
Under the L tracks.
So if you're enjoying that space, you have to be willing to put up with the occasional rumble of the trains.
Right. And we think that's what makes the low line pretty unique. It's quintessentially Chicago. You know, the idea of being able to walk beneath a loud, bustling train and also look at some Chicago artists. I think there's nothing more Chicago than that.
It's a very unique Chicago experience. Will it be a green space, though, too? Are you going to clean it up down there, too, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, Port has done a great job of designing a space that I think will vastly improve upon the existing conditions.
So you are doing sort of the model, the first leg of this, if you will, and you're hoping it catches on in other neighborhoods and throughout the city.
I think that would be fantastic. You know, we're focusing most of our efforts at these three plazas right now at Southport, both sides of Ashland, and then again at Lincoln Avenue at Palina at the other end. So the idea is to really make these spaces great and then turn to kind of our attention to how we can connect the spaces together.
You know, Andrew, as an urban planner, the L-tracks are part of our landscape, and I think it's generally kind of an interesting thing and a necessity. So there's no point in worrying about that. But I've always lamented how dirty, dangerous, or just, you know, unkempt the areas are under the L tracks. That's an ongoing blight throughout the city.
Yeah, I mean, and in some ways, it's the CTA is operating one of the most extensive public transit systems in the country, and their business is keeping the trains running smoothly and on
time.
That
is their property, huh?
And it is their property below. But the to dedicate the resources and time to make sure every area underneath every track is spotless just isn't on the to-do list.
So if we turn these into these low lines, you're calling them, are they going to give you that property or just let you manage it? What's the status of that?
So we've got a great relationship with the CTA, and you know, in the past 5 years, we've been running a pretty successful farmers market at the Southport CTA station called the Low Line Farmers Market. We're happy to say that it's entered its fifth year this year, which is a big landmark. But thanks to the work of the CTA, we've been able to actually slowly move this market further to the west underneath the tracks. And so and we're doing that through an agreement that we've got with the CTA. So that's kind of the same kind of agreement we'd have in place for other spaces as well along the pathway.
So you've got these two legs, if you will. The idea is to sort of like a tunnel, connect them in the middle, right?
Yeah, ultimately. Our focus right now is on these three plazas at Southport, Pline, and then also Ashland in between, and then eventually connect it all and give someone a reason to walk, half mile from one end to the other.
What's more complicated than this? I mean, so how about we all just get some rakes and some garbage bags and we pick up the trash and then we plant some seed? I mean, why is it more complicated than that? What am I talking about here?
Well, there's one issue with cleaning it up, but the other is making it a dynamic and interesting and engaging space for the neighborhood and for visitors to Lakeview. And so the introduction of art, interactive lighting, accenting the structure from below, really making an experience out of it beyond cleaning up the ground is a key component.
So what kind of art? Murals, or what do you put up there?
Yeah, there'll be up to two dozen art panels, these massive 8-foot by 8-foot art panels, eventually that'll stretch the whole length of the pathway. And the idea is that we can make it kind of one of Chicago's largest outdoor art galleries, with living, breathing art galleries, art that rotates in and out from local artists and artists.
Are you
from
worried about the safety underneath there, either from transients or, I don't know, something falling from overhead, that sort of thing?
Well, we feel like, like Andrew said, a lot of the CTA's focus is currently above the tracks, and as it should be, that's kind of, that's their main responsibility. But consequently, some of the spaces we think don't necessarily feel that safe right now. So we think we can improve upon the safety by introducing these light panels, by cleaning them up, and create an experience that's beautiful and safe for everybody.
Would you pave it or not pave it, but maybe put some pea gravel or some sort of bicycle path underneath there?
in the first phase, we're looking at changing the ground surfacing a little bit, more of a crushed granite, something like that. In the long term, it's possible it could be paved. You know, one of the most important considerations is that the CTA can still operate through this space and perform their routine maintenance. And so we have to be really mindful of what we introduce on the ground surface, supporting heavy vehicles and construction and all and everything else.
Boy, the mind reels, doesn't it? I mean, it's a unique kind of serpentine space under the city. If you got artistic or creative or made it functional, like a shortcut through a neighborhood, there's just a lot of opportunity there, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, our Special Service Area Commission really believes that this has the potential to, you know, really position Lakeview as a one-of-a-kind landmark destination for the city. And also Chicago is a place that's not afraid to try something new and different.
Well, Lakeview, any neighborhood, right? I mean, the L's everywhere, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Is there anything to keep a South Side or far western area from doing the same thing?
No, but it takes someone to, like the Lakeview Chamber of Commerce, to get out to test this and prove it. And I think there's a lot of people that say it's too loud and people won't go under there. But then you look at the Southport market that's doing so well underneath the tracks, and it starts to become, yeah, precedent for other neighborhoods to follow suit.
I'll pause here. If you got a question, comment, observation, suggestion for these guys, 312-981-7200. A couple calls for you guys. Let's talk to Jerry. You're on WGN. Hi, Jerry. What can we do for you?
Hey, hello. So would this low line only be under the platform itself, or would it be a path that like goes through the alleys of the neighborhoods? I was confused.
Yeah, so it would be a pathway that connects the entire stretch of pathway beneath the train from Southport all the way to Palina. You know, initially we're focusing our efforts here on these plazas on the more commercial streets, so Southport, Ashland, and Palina, but the end goal is to connect everything and provide people a unified place to walk.
Why do you ask that, Jerry?
Well, just because I live in the area and I have a home, and my house butts up to the alley of the train trestle, the tracks, and I was just curious, am I going to have people walking up and down it all the time? Is it going to be open like the 606 only certain hours?
Those are both good questions.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, so initially in the next couple of years, we're going to be focusing on these plaza spaces, which are more on commercial streets, so have a little bit of a different kind of use to them. You know, I think every space will feel a little bit different. So as you start walking onto the more residential streets, it's going to be more of like a pathway as opposed to a place where people will congregate. So it's more like a people passing by briefly as opposed to actually hanging out and lingering in the space.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Off the air, you said it really is about the plazas, the platforms to start. Mm-hmm. But here I'm imagining this kind of unique walkway, which I think is a swell idea because they ain't walking through my backyard. Jerry's got a fair point, though, doesn't he? We've got to sort of respect their space as well. Of course, I don't know how much privacy or quiet you can expect when you're living that close to the L tracks anyway, but I guess we need to anticipate this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and over half of it in the initial primary focus area is behind not actually residential houses butting up against it, but it's really just I don't know, it almost feels more like an alley, and it's a place that the community already uses to enter the Paulina Brown Line stop from behind. Instead of walking up Paulina or Roscoe and coming in as intended, there's a really large amount of people that are already using this space to get to and from the train.
Tom, you're on WGN. What was your – lots of phone calls for you guys. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. What's up?
Anything that can beautify the city, I am all for, even though I live in the suburbs now. And my observation is almost trivial compared to your previous callers, but nonetheless, I have parked under L tracks, and there are birds that live.
Oh yeah, no, we the okay. Real quick, what are you going to do about that, smart guys? Because that isn't. We have that problem in the parking deck of the Tribune Tower here, and we have not figured out the solution to that.
Right, right. Birds are complicated. They're complicated. But we feel like, again, we'll be improving the spaces, cleaning them. You know, we also have a clean team that currently walks our streets, funded by the Special Service Area locally, 6 days a week in the warmer months. And so they'll start maintaining the spaces actively once they're opened and make sure that the bird bird waste is removed.
So you're just going to fight it as you can. And that's in Lakeview. If I want to get more involved, if I want to write you a big check, come on, corporate sponsors. Let's make this a reality throughout the city. Where do I go?
So we encourage people to visit our website, lakeviewchamber.com/lowlinevision. You can go there. You can sign a letter of support right now. That's what we're looking for, is is folks to come out and support this project. And then, you know, if you wanted to give some money for the future idea of connecting the low line pathway, we could talk as well.
LakeviewChamber.com. When will this be a reality if it happens?
So, we currently have, folks that are installing, these massive art panels at the Southport Plaza right now as we speak. So those art panels are kind of the next part of this phase one. Phase one also includes these improvements funded by SSA 27 at Ashland and Palina, and then, you know, a few years out is the idea of connecting the future pathway.
Well, hopefully you heard it here first, and years from now we're going to all appreciate that, and we'll remember Dylan Goodson came into our studio. Andrew Modrell did too, from Port Urbanism. Guys, good luck.
On a very hot day.
And keep us posted. Yeah, it's hundreds of degrees outside. Thank you for that. RJ Melman's on the phone. RJ, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
Great. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the job and the success of the business over there.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited for the future. We've been around for 46 years, and I'm looking forward to making sure we're around for at least another 46.
So how do you do that? I mean, it's your business strikes me as about impossible to predict what's going to go and not. What's the vision?
I think that we've had, for my dad and Kevin Brown, our CEO, we've had great vision about, or great flexibility. We've always wanted to do a couple things, which is create new concepts, be flexible, and the future will remain that. We're going to do new restaurants, and we're probably going to repeat some ones that we already have. We've done that in the past with Wildfire. We have a restaurant called Beatrix. We've done several of them. We have RPM Italian. That we did one in Washington, D.C. after we did the one in Chicago. So I think it'll be a combination of doing some new and experimenting, and that'll never go out of our DNA. We love creating things and creating restaurants, and that's going to continue to be fun for us, and that is our mission going forward.
What drives a restaurant, like if you're creating one? Like if you've got, okay, let's try X, is it the cuisine, is it a kind of food, or is it a kind of atmosphere? Like I really want to do something that is architecturally different or something like that.
It always starts with the food for us. And the best example I can give, we have a restaurant called Ramen San, and we were one day, my brother and I, the chef, our partner, a gentleman named Doug Saltis, who is incredibly talented, called us in the kitchen and said, I want you guys to try something. And we thought we were going to go taste the new pasta he was working on for the menu, but in the kitchen, he had said, I made this. It's a bowl of, it was a pork ramen broth, and it was absolutely unbelievable. And that started the genesis of a whole concept that spun out of it. We took a trip to Japan, learned everything that we could about about ramen and about Japanese culture and the business. And then we brought it back here, and it all started with one dish. And that often happens with us, that we just get excited about food and then we want to do something. We don't sit around and say we want to do an architecturally stated restaurant. You know, we want to do good food and make people happy, and that's how it starts.
So. Are there some types of food you're going to stay away from? Because it's funny, you've got Asian food, you've got Italian food, you've got high-end food, you've got convenient food. Is there some things you go, you know what, Japanese food isn't our thing. That's not our specialty. Let's not get outside our comfort zone. How do you manage that?
No, I think, you know, you manage it by having talented and passionate people. I think if it's something that I don't want to eat, or we don't want to eat, my siblings, my dad, Kevin, yes, it's probably not going to be something that we go after. If it's, you know, I don't even have an example of something we don't eat. We're pretty global. But you also have to have talented people who want to work on that project. We're working on a sushi restaurant right now called Sushi San, which is sort of a spinoff of Ramen San. And we love sushi. We want to go out and so we're not going to do anything that we're not passionate about.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm not sure there's exactly a cuisine, and those things change. I don't think that 20 years ago people were as passionate about sushi as they are today, right? And so our palates might change.
Yeah, right. So are people always coming up to you going, okay, I got an idea. Here's what you do, RJ. You get blended meats and you make high-end burgers, you know, like brisket with pork with some sirloin, and then you put an aioli on that. Huh? How about one of those ideas?
Yeah, you know, it happens all the time. I think we get incredible feedback from our guests, our customers, and I love it. You know, sometimes the ideas don't make sense in the grand context, but I get an email, I'd say a month, of a really great idea or a really good insight. The best thing you can do is listen to your customers always. I mean, they are the ones who experience a restaurant so much different than you, right? I can never walk into RPM Italian and not be one of the owners or feel about it differently. I've walked in here 2,000 times. And so when someone comes for the first time and gives you really constructive feedback, it's super helpful.
RJ Melman's on the phone, president of Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. What's the thing about restaurants that you like the least? If you go into some place and something is bugging you about it, most likely it is what?
Oh, wow.
Because I have an answer to that question, but I want to know what your answer is.
What would bug me the most? That's a great question.
Okay, here's mine.
You know, go, yeah, please, go ahead.
Well, because maybe this will help you sort of craft your answer. A volume. We were at a place the other night. We had a really nice time, but doggone it, we were fighting the volume. And sometimes it's the music, and sometimes it's just the ambiance. Sometimes it's both. I don't know how you fix that, but I think restaurants need to tend to that very important sensory experience.
You know, the funny thing is we spend a lot of time thinking about acoustics, and I do agree that if you go to a place and you want to have dinner and you can't talk, it gets hard, and people think that young people want to be in places that are loud and noisy, and I don't know if that's really exactly true. I think people want energy, and it's different than volume. So one thing that we spend a lot of time on is we spec really high-end speakers, and the better the speaker is, the better the sound quality is. Actually, the lower it has to be sound clear. We spend a lot of time on acoustic materials for the ceilings and the walls, so you don't have that reverberation where it's the reverb, I think, that can really drive you nuts.
Yeah,
right. That echoey place. So you want a place to feel great and still have and still sound good and feel good. And so we're very aware of that, that does drive you nuts when you're trying to eat out.
But you touched upon something, though, because there is this – you talked about young people. If it's too quiet – then that turns them off, right? Or it seems too subdued. That's bad for business.
Well, people want to be where people are. I think that there's a sense of community. You're going out to dinner to entertain, to be with friends, to be in a place where that has a good time. It's more than just a meal itself. It's an experience. It's a memory. And our job is to deliver that. To deliver great food, great service, and a place that people can say that they had a great time. And sometimes energy is part of that.
Yeah, you know, you keep using the word energy as a substitute for volume, which I think is, that makes sense to me. I like energy too. I don't want a dull place, but there are places where you find yourself halfway through the meal yelling at the person across the table. And if I was a restaurateur, I'd think, oh my God, this is a problem. And I don't know. And again, I don't know what the fix would be. I'm not even saying that's an experience I've had in any of your places, but it's a peeve of mine when I go out sometimes.
For sure. If you can't have an actual dinner conversation with the people you're having dinner with.
Yeah. Then why are we doing this?
You sort of did it for the wrong reason.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the list of your restaurants. Steve and I were kind of chuckling the other day because when we heard the news about you getting the presidency, I said, man, I remember Jonathan Livingston Seafood. And then, Steve, I think you recall Lawrence of Oregano.
Lawrence of Oregano.
And the Great Gritsby's Flying Food Show. Do you remember that?
And yeah, we had a little different naming style then.
You did.
A little more whimsical or humorous.
Well, so, what about that? Like, is that something the company no longer embraces? Or every now and then, do you dip your toe back in there? How do you come up with the names of the places?
I think, the names come from people who are working on the project. They come. Today's world, it's actually gotten way harder to name restaurants because of trademarking issues. It's a lot harder to find a name that you can actually trademark. So you come up with 50 ideas and you realize that there's like some place that's outside of Tampa that has the name of the restaurant you want.
Oh, wow.
It's really hard. It's a lot easier in the 70s. I think it was a lot harder to have word travel, and obviously there were less restaurants then too. But we do it internally. We come up with names. We think about what the concept is, what we want to evoke, and you come up with it. And I think that, like, Let Us Entertain You probably went through phases. That my dad started, he was in his early 30s, and the names were whimsical, and it was fun, and it was a reflection of the times. And he got older, and maybe the names got more serious, or that the concepts got more serious, and we've done fun concepts since then, too. You know, my brother and I opened a nightclub called Studio Paris, and We did Three Dots and a Dash, which is our tiki bar. So I think all those things go in cycles and evolution, and sometimes they're going to be fun and whimsical. But, you know, we are always here. The word entertain is in our company title, and that will be in our DNA.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
That we are here to entertain you.
So, yeah, I saw that, Three Dots and a Dash. I've not been there. What is the sort of etymology of that? What does that mean, Three Dots and a Dash?
Three Dots and a Dash is a very famous tiki drink created by Trader Vic back in the day. But it is also a throwback to, it was the symbol for victory in the Pacific during World War II. So it's Three Dots and a Dash is the letter V in Morse code.
Oh.
So that is how they signaled that we had victory in the Pacific. Hmm. And so what better name than something that means victory for a tiki bar? You know, it's a victory for tiki in Chicago, which Chicago has a long history of great tiki bars. And also, I think it's a great place. We've always thought as a place to celebrate life's victories, where you can go and celebrate a bachelorette party. That's a victory. I'm getting married, or a wedding, or a work celebration. So we've, you know, tied that notion in to really as a place to celebrate. And that's what Three Dots and Dash has become.
Boy, that is so thoughtful. I appreciate the energy or the thought that went into that. You know, and I would always have the cart before the horse. I'd come up to you and say, hey, I got a great idea, Three Dots and a Dash. Because it means victory, and it's in the Pacific, and it's a V, and it's Morse code. And they'd say, great. And I say, okay, now, I don't know what we're going to serve there. I just like the name of the restaurant. But I'm glad to hear you say, no, we come up with the food concepts first and then try and find the name that matches it rather than the other way around. But the
you know, it's funny. We have a long history, I think, of probably naming places, or you have a working title for a place. And then you build it, and you realize it doesn't feel like what you named it.
Mm-hmm.
And so half the time, I swear, our names come in the last week or right before you open, or you change it. And part of it is you just like kind of don't exactly know what to name something until you have it. It's like naming a kid before you even were pregnant, right? You gotta, you just know
when you have the baby,
you just say like, that doesn't look like a Michelle. That's a Lucy. You know, it's just what it makes sense.
I got to go. I will tell you this. One of your places, which we've recently discovered and have really been enjoying, is Osteria Via Stato on North State. And the staff there is so nice. And we've been there a few times. And without fail, every single person is just so accommodating and pleasant. In fact, we've got a big family gathering we're planning, and we're going to spend our money there.
We're very thankful for that.
I think the reason you guys have been successful is because I've been to all of these places a lot of times. The wildfire in Oak Brook is there because I've given you all of my discretionary income, sir.
Well, I appreciate it.
Congratulations, RJ. We'll visit again and stay in touch.
Thank you for having me on the phone, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, RJ Melman from Let Us Entertain You. Speaking of, you know, the calendar, so today is the first day of fall. And it's just a reminder, I wanted to give a shout-out here to one of our new sponsors, the folks at Remodel Direct. Rick Hirschout reminded us that what is the number? Rick's on the phone right now. Rick, what is the number of people who fall over the age of 65? What's that statistic again?
On average, John, they're going to have a fall every 3 years.
People over the age of 65 will fall this year then, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
and today being National Fall Prevention Awareness Day, you know, that's why we're having our open house this afternoon, and we're inviting all the WGN listeners. We've already had so many come through today. It's been really fantastic.
Good.
And they're all listening to your show. They all tell us.
Well, you spend your money here, and we appreciate that. You're a client of ours, but I've been promoting you maybe more than I have to, just because I think what you guys do is so smart, and it's so needed. We all want to stay in our homes as long as we can. We all want to drive our cars as long as we can. We all want to be as independent as long as we can. And a lot of people are living in houses that are not as safe for them or even as convenient as they used to be or could be. So if it's those stair lifts or making the bathroom safer, good Lord. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a company that would come in and safeguard convenience your home? And that's what you guys do, right, Rick?
And that's right. And we'd love to see, you know, so many people take on projects like this after they've had an incident.
Right.
And we're really trying to turn the tables and get people to be more proactive and really think about what it's going to take to remain safe and independent in their own home. And that's what we help them with.
Well, do it this way. If I trip and fall, that's going to cost, I don't know, $18,000 or some godforsaken amount of money in medical bills, to say nothing of the pain and inconvenience. Or I could spend a fraction of that, or maybe that much. Well, I don't know what you need, but spend the money now and avoid the fall. So I'm an advocate for what you do, and I think our listeners are ripe for your message. So tell me about the open house then. Where are you today?
Yeah, so we're at our headquarters in Buffalo Grove at 230 Lexington Drive, and we're going to be here till 6 o'clock. We've got food, we've got giveaways, we've got educational seminars. It's a lot of fun, and we're sharing a great message with people. So we've had a lot of people already here, more coming right now, and we'd love to see more people come here until 6 o'clock today.
And if I don't get there, what's the number to call? Well, you guys are at AAA, what is it, 70 Direct, is that it?
888-70 Direct, and we serve the entire Chicago area. We come to your home, we bring samples, and we show you everything that you need to be safe and independent in your own home.
It's a new business. We wish them success in Chicago today. All right, Rick, good luck. Keep it up, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for what you're doing for my folks, too. Wait, did you get that number? 888-70-DIRECT, 888-70-DIRECT. By the way, we asked you to text to us the temperature readings in your cars. What are we seeing there, Producer Elif? What are you looking at?
I have 95.
Wow.
92.
Ooh.
95.
Wow.
95 in Gurnee. 95. 98 in Bridgeview.
Wow.
92 in Yorkville. And
home of the Foxes.
Nice guy wants to make us jealous. There's a picture of him in a pool.
Yeah.
With the thumbs up, of course. 98.
98.
In
and
Morris.
The record high is 89. Keep going, Morris, Illinois. That's your Grundy County seat.
We've got 98 in Antioch.
Yeah.
Another 97.
Wow.
In Hinsdale, 96. Whew. 109 in, let's see, doesn't say where.
Phoenix, 109. Probably, yeah.
In a pizza restaurant.
Whatever.
In the oven.
If it's outside, if it's an ambient air temperature where you are, that's the relevant temperature for you. Some people in the media want to poo-poo your personal experience. But if you're on a hot pavement and it's 98 degrees on that thermometer, Jack, then that's your world. And I want to respect that.
Can I just add something brief here?
Yeah.
My bright side is going to be related to the weather.
Okay. The bright side's right around the corner. Thank you, Elif. Hey, listen to this. You know how on Channel 11, they have that show where the people bring stuff in, and then they say, well, this is a porcelain vase, and you got it at a garage
Antique
sale.
Antique Roadshow, I think.
That is the best show. it was nominated for an Emmy this year.
Was it?
I want to do a parody of it where people bring in a lot of things, and it's all really stupid, boring stuff that's worthless, you know?
That you think other people would, like, be interested in or take?
Well, the parody is, like, so there's a bunch of people all standing in line, and they've got, like, a McDonald's cup from 3 years ago.
Okay.
And the guy goes, well, this is a McDonald's cup. It's garbage. It's worth 0 cents. Oh, well, we've had it in our family for 12 months, and I kind of like the picture on the side. It's worthless. And then the next person comes up, and the person doing the evaluating gets more and more frustrated because people are just bringing not interesting, valuable things, but just stupid stuff. I think that would be a really funny thing.
Okay, I could see how you might think that. Aren't you the guy with the 2-year-old hamburger at one point? Wasn't that you?
Yeah, well, we had a Big Mac in our office for several years.
For several years.
Matt Bubala and I
right.
did. And after several years, it looked very much like the sandwich it was the day
and
we bought
it. You left it open, just sitting out there.
Yeah, it just kind of got hard. But
so that's the sort of thing that made me think of it.
You know? Okay, yeah, so maybe people do that. They go, well, this is an old Big Mac from 1988. And, you know, then the guy would evaluate it and say things, you know.
Whatever. Okay, but then there needs to be a second joke to make the whole show work. I mean, they get the first joke.
Yeah. I only have the first joke, to be honest with you. Flora, this is John. What did you want to say? You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, are you calling for the bright side?
I'm calling about my bright side.
Oh, okay. Hold on. No, that's right. You can call right now. I have one quick guest I'm going to put on the air here, and then we'll take our bright side calls. And that number is also 312-981-7200. So stop texting to that number your warm temperatures, which I find fascinating, but text to us why you're smiling, what's some good news in your world, or call, as Flora did, and tell us what's some good news in your world. But Jim Holstein is joining us for just a couple of minutes here. Hey, Jim, this is John Williams. How are you this afternoon?
I am fantastic. I'm looking at this 3-year-old Subway sandwich I have been sitting in my office for a long time.
He is the collections manager at the Field Museum. They have ID Day coming up. First of all, what a great facility and what an interesting job that sounds like, Jim. What does the collections manager do at the Field?
Basically a librarian of rocks and minerals and meteorites.
So you're the guy that...
Of about 60,000 items in the museum that we send out for loans, we put on display, we send to other institutions for exhibits, and we ID things at the museum too.
Does it kind of frustrate you that you have more things in the building than are on display, and wouldn't it be nice to see all of it at once?
We have less than 1% of all of our collections on display. We have 30 million specimens in our collection. Yeah, so we go through our collection as collection managers, and we find stuff all the time that we had no idea was there.
Huh. Is it digitized?
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, keep going.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I found a bottle that was encrusted with minerals from the 1800s. This bottle was thrown overboard by a drunken British sailor found in a cave in the Bahamas. And I had no idea it was in our collection until I actually physically looked at it.
So then,
crazy stuff.
And then what did you decide to do with that? Like, okay, that's fascinating. It's sort of like a lot of people's basements. Yeah, that's cool, but what am I going to do with it, right?
That's a really good question. What are we going to do with it? And we actually had a show a couple of weeks ago where we actually showed this off to the public. So every so often, stuff behind the scenes do come on exhibit.
So tell me then about what this ID Day is.
So it's our annual ID Day. We do it every single September from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. It's free to Illinois residents. It's a free day for Illinois residents. And people can bring in whatever they find in their backyards, and we can identify it for them, be it a rock, a mineral, a meteorite, a weird bug, a fossil they might have found.
A leaf, a stick. Do you want things of the natural earth, or can it be, I don't know, a coin, say, or something like that?
Well, coins, not so much. I mean, that's a little bit different. We're going to have specialists from every field in our building. Mineralogists, we're going to have botanists, we're going to have anthropologists, so we can identify artifacts if people find them. So if a coin falls in the artifact category, perhaps.
We, years ago as a kid, found a tooth, you know, like a jaw bone of something,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably a raccoon, but we thought, no, maybe this thing's ancient and we didn't know. This would be an example, right?
Bring it in. Yeah. A few years back when they were breaking ground for the Pritzker School in Wicker Park, they found a giant beaver. This is a Pleistocene beaver that dates back almost
really?
A million years. Yeah.
Really? Well, and
here, 7-foot long beaver.
Like a lot of kids, I used to collect rocks. I mean, I did this through college, and I would try and identify them. You know, I had my little books and my little tests that you can do, but there was a couple that I so wanted to know what they were, and I never knew where to turn. This would have been
exactly.
The perfect opportunity for somebody.
Yeah, well, nowadays we have the interweb, and that's certainly helpful to some extent, but you have to talk to a specialist, really.
Yeah, you want somebody to touch it and feel it. And
exactly, look at it under a microscope, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I do identifications for meteorites, and people call me all the time, and they say, I found a meteorite, I looked up on the Internet, and I know it's a meteorite, it's from the moon. And I say, well, let me look at it. They bring it in. No, it's a piece of limestone. So have a specialist look at it to definitively identify it.
Would a meteorite be valuable?
Sometimes they are. One of the things that we're doing tomorrow is, you know, we're basically the Antiques Roadshow for natural history tomorrow. But we do not appraise items here. We're not for profit, so we don't appraise the value of things.
Yeah. Okay, so is it free, and do you just first come, first serve?
Well, it's not first come, first serve. I guess it is first come, first serve. But it's free to Illinois residents to come to the museum and bring their specimens in. And we're in Stanley Field Hall. That's a great hall with Sue the T-Rex and our fighting elephants. So come on down and check it out. And, you know, last year we identified well over 100 items that people brought in, and we hope to break that record this year.
Okay. So just show up, or do I have to sort of register online?
You just show up.
Okay.
Absolutely, just show up. And then you can sometimes bluff the scientist. Sometimes you can bring something in. And if the scientist is stumped, you'll get a little sticker. Say, I stumped the scientist.
10 to 2 tomorrow at the Field mm-hmm. Museum at the Great Hall. Hey, what a great idea. Keep up the good work over there, Jim. I appreciate
Thanks
your time.
Thanks for having me.
Here we go.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
This is the bright side.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
And I do have an open line.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle.
The Bright Side is sponsored.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
By Home Care Assistance of Greater Chicago.
Always look on the bright
Okay, let's play this little game we do on Fridays. We start with the ladies first. I see Violetta's in Traffic Central. I'm not sure if she's actually tuned in right now. Hey, Violetta, you paying attention over there?
Violetta.
I know, I just said that wrong. I was doing two things at once. How are you, Violetta?
I'm good.
What's your bright side?
I hadn't given it much thought, but I'm thinking I'm going to get a tan this weekend.
That could be a bright side. She's going to get a nice tan this weekend. That's the thing. How about you, Steve Bertrand? What's your bright side?
The guy who had predicted that the world would end beginning tomorrow says he's miscalculated.
I saw that, too.
He did say October, but...
Oh, so it's still going to end, but not tomorrow? Is
right,
that what you're saying?
We've got another month.
How about that? Well, there's a bright side.
For Violetta to get a tan.
We actually looked up seven other times the world was going to end and didn't. That we were able to look it up tells you how that worked out. But, yeah, I'm kind of happy about that, too. Jazz Fest is going on in Hyde Park or the South Side this weekend. Friends of mine invited us. We're going to go hear some jazz music with some pals. How about Marcy? Marcy, this is John. What's your bright side? You're on WGN.
Hi, John. My bright side is that my son Jacob and his girlfriend Jana Lee were just crowned homecoming king and queen at Schaumburg High School yesterday. Always look on the
light side of life. Kudos to them. Hey, Flora, this is John. You've been holding for a while. What's your bright side?
My bright side is I grew up in Ranch Triangle. I live in Wisconsin Dells, and I get to listen to 720 WGN. I'm looking at a dozen cars.
I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say. How about Annette? Annette, this is John. Why are you smiling?
Hi, my son Joe Kennedy plays center for Naperville Central High School, and tonight is Friday Night Lights. We're 4-0.
A lot of high school football tonight. Boy, it's going to be hot out on that field, maybe 100 degrees, so you'll want to hydrate. Lynn, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Lynn?
Hi, John. I just arrived in Denver from Chicago to visit my freshman in college for Parents Weekend.
You've called us from Denver today.
Yes, I did. It's beautiful here.
Thank you, Lynn. Congrats. Have a great weekend. Hey, Dan, this is John. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Dan?
I'm smiling because last week my wife and I went to Paris on a beautiful trip there, took 600 or 700 pictures, and the last night we were there, I decided to delete one of the fuzzy ones. I deleted them all. We got home, and we have a tech-friendly friend, and she was able to restore not only the pictures, but my marriage.
Now, boy, Dan, thanks for the call. I'm glad that story has a happy ending. Hey, Katrina, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. I interview for a full-time job this coming Sunday, and I start a temporary job the following Tuesday.
Oh, wow. So more money, more taxes, and a full-time job maybe around the corner, huh?
Yay!
Hey, Eric, this is John. You're on GN. What's some good news in your world, my friend?
Sunday is going to be my 43rd birthday, and tomorrow my daughter has marching band competition. Sunday, I'm doing absolutely nothing. Always
look on the Have a great weekend, my friend. Side of life. Hey, Patty, this is John. You're on WGN. Make me smile. Hey, Patty.
Oh, hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi. My
90th birthday. Patty says it's your mom's 90th birthday. They are celebrating. Congratulations, and thanks for the call. Hey, Kim, this is John. Why are you smiling?
Hey, John. I wanted to say happy birthday to my little brother, Keith, today.
Well, that's nice of you. Is he listening? What's he do?
He's unemployed right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let's get that fixed, too. And let's say hi to Keith. And thanks for the call. Thanks for the bright side contribution.
All righty. Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
By the way, Elif, what's your bright side? I don't think we asked you today. What, do you want to play? Elif said she said you wanted to contribute to the bright side. At least I think she did. No, she's not ready. All right. You are?
Yes.
What's your bright side?
I finally have air conditioning after this week of HE. you know what.
Oh, no kidding. I know you moved recently. You don't have air conditioning this week in your new place?
Right. It's the tenant's responsibility to install the window unit, and I begged them. I literally said, I beg you, and they came and did it yesterday.
No kidding. So AC at your place.
Yep.
90 degrees out there. What is it? 93 right now. 93 degrees.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, good news. Good news. And whistle. That's the thing. Hey, Mike, this is John. You're on WGN. What's some good news, Mike?
Hey, John. I used to pay $25 a pound for jerky from a good meat market, and now I'm making my own for $5 a pound at home, and it tastes better. For life is quite
absurd, and death's the final word. Let's go from you to line number four. Hey, Carrie, it's John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Carrie? You're on the air.
My bright side is that my sister finally was able to finalize the adoption of her little boy. So I have a new nephew.
Wow. So this child is at the home now? Everybody's all together?
Everybody is all together. It took about 2 years. His parents struggled with addiction, and so she took him in, and the adoption was finalized. And actually, truth be told, about a month before the adoption was finalized, we found out the biological parents, had another baby born with addiction. And so my sister and her husband are going to take that baby in too.
Wow.
And hopefully in the next 2 years, she'll be officially my niece.
Okay, Carrie, our best to everybody over there. Thank you for sharing that story.
Thank you. Have a great day. Always look on the
bright side. Time for one more. Joanne, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Joanne?
Hi, John. It's the first day of fall, and we're headed to a beautiful weekend. Always
face the curtain. Amen to that. We can all relate. Yep, that's the bright side. We do it on Fridays. You call in, tell us some good news in your world, why you are smiling. We smile with you. You know, I didn't do this today. I did last week, and I mean to. Tweet out, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm WGN King John, and we'll ask you to post there what your bright sides are as well, because we never have time to get them all in, but we can sure read through some of the ones that you tweet or text. By the way, you know, something we did last night, which was really fun. This is the third year Brenda and I have done it with some friends. I'm not sure the name of the company, but you can look them up. I think there's more than one, but you rent these little boats that go up and down. Have you ever done this, Judy? The river, the Chicago River here.
Oh, yeah, the kayaks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the electric boats.
The electric boats.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yes, the electric boats. Yeah. So because kayak is a lot of work and there's no room for your cooler. But if you get the electric boats, you put your cooler in there with your cocktails and your cookies. And then you all sit there and you get Mark, my buddy, to drive the boat. And then you just for 2 hours. And last night we were in it from 7:15
to 9. Isn't it cool?
And the city is so beautiful with the lights.
Yeah.
And you're just putting along. Here comes a barge, but you're just putting along, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah. It's the best thing is to have a captain.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I said, Mark, will you drive the boat again? He goes, yeah. And I go, oh, thank God.
I know, right? We did it. News girls here did it one time, and we had Kim Gordon's husband as our captain. Captain Stewart.
You need a designated captain,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And so I was having Manhattans.
Yeah, that's why we needed a captain.
And we went all the way out to the lake. I mean, we didn't go out to the lake, but you turn around there. And then we went down south towards Chinatown, and then you go back up north, and it's just the best use of $100 or whatever it is, depending on how many people are on there. It's very, very fun.
Did you stop and eat, John, in Chinatown?
No, we didn't. We didn't get off the boat. I don't know that you can. This is
maybe
where
you
rent those little electric boats and
put
around, you know?
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah.
And the river is turning out to be a very beautiful place. You know, you might not have expected that 15, 20 years ago.
Well, that's what some of them were talking about. They hadn't been downtown for a few years and seen the development. So we kind of went along O'Brien's and the places along there and looked at the beautiful people looking at us. It's kind of fun people watching there, too.
It is.
By the way, I don't know if you guys are going to use this word on your show today.
Dotard.
But where's Mr. Khan? Well, is he going to join us?
I'm going to ask him when he gets here if he is one of the few individuals who actually knew the definition of that word this morning and didn't have to Google it, didn't have to look it up, didn't rely on Merriam-Webster
And the fascinating thing about that word dotard, and she did say dotard, didn't she? Hit it again, Elif.
Dotard.
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 I thought it was
dotard.
I did too. That's the way I would have pronounced it. But now I've learned it's dotard.
Dotard.
But you think when Kim Jong-un called President Trump that, he didn't say the word dotard. Because he doesn't, he wasn't speaking English when
he
said it.
Well, he did. He was schooled in Switzerland for a little while. So there's a
you think he knows the word dotard?
Yeah, I think that he learned it, and I do think he has some command of.
I thought
English
what he did
language.
Was he said, "Oh, that senile old man, he's losing
right.
his mind."
Let's go to Merriam-Webster.
And then his interpreter said, "Well, I don't know what the word for that is," so they kind of reverse engineered it.
Well, I think we talked to Michael Steele, former head of the Republican Party, about what this means. Does this escalate things, or is this strong talk? And maybe it's the right way to go with this particular dictator. He's going to be talking about that, and then the health care bill, the latest move with John McCain coming through and saying nope. It's not going to get my vote. Tom Skilling is going to update us. And don't tell Rob, but the autumnal equinox just happened. So we're, summer. Goodbye. I got him a pumpkin spice latte, though, so it's all good.